We're going to go to Isaiah chapter 6. We started this month. We've been talking about our dependence on God. And Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 8. God is saying and speaking something to Isaiah. Isaiah 6, verse 1, it says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. I saw the Lord seated." A great song. Verse 2, "Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings." Remember, seraphim meant like fire that never goes out. It's just a burning fire. "Each one had six wings, and two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, 'Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts,'" or the Lord Almighty. "The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, 'Woe is me, for I am undone.'" Meaning, man, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in this place. "Because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, 'Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged.' Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send, and who will go for us?' Then I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" Father, we come to you again and we thank you for this awesome service so far. We pray that you will speak to us. We pray your Holy Spirit would reveal truth to us, that we would apply to our lives so that we would not deceive ourselves, Lord. We thank you, God, for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So the theme this month has been on prayer and our dependence on God. There's a great need for us. There's a great need for us to know that we need to depend on God, and nothing or no one else should equal that dependence that we have on God. In this book that I'm reading, Why Revival Tarries, it says, "As long as we keep from prayer, which is the exercise of the instruction we have received through the word, what use is deeper knowledge if we have shallower hearts?" We're talking about knowledge and wisdom in Sunday school. "What use is greater standing with men if we have less standing with God? What use is personal physical hygiene if we have filthiness of the mind and of the spirit?" Oh, Lord, help us. "What use is religious piety if we have soul carnality? Why strut with physical strength if we have spiritual weakness? Of what use is worldly wealth if we have spiritual poverty? Who can take comfort in social popularity if he is unknown in hell?" I'm thinking, wow, devil better know who I am. I need to make sure of that. Prayer takes care of all these spiritual maladjustments. And today we're going to just look at how our dependence on God in prayer and our communication, our time well spent with him, it affects every area of our life. And it's either going to strengthen us or it's going to allow us to be easy prey for the things that are outside of this world. In this passage, Isaiah is being called to be God's prophet. But notice where this happens. Notice where this happens. It's not on a street corner. It's not, by the pool of Bethesda, or it's not by a riverbank. It's in prayer. It is in prayer that Isaiah is speaking and communicating with God. In time of prayer with the Father is communicating. You're communicating with him, and that's prayer. Isaiah is not taken from the earth and traveled to heaven. God didn't pick him up and bring him to heaven. It's in the moment of prayer that he sees God, his mind's eye in the spiritual. He sees God and God's holiness. Because if it was literally that he was seeing God face to face, he would die. You see, Exodus chapter 33, verse 12, it's a communication or altercation between God and Moses. And that Moses said to the Lord, "Lord, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have also found grace in my sight." Isn't that us, though? God tells us something, and we're like, but wait, God, I know you told me to do that, but what are you going to do about this, God? And God, what, you didn't answer my prayer earlier, God, but you're telling me to do this. I mean, we do that with God. And so here, Moses is talking with God. Verse 13, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight," Moses says, "show me now your way that I may know you and that I may find grace in your sight. And consider that this nation is your people. And God said, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. Then Moses said to God, God, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here." That's a prayer that Shannon and I prayed. Lord, if you're not going to lead us, if you're not going to go with us in this next journey or in our next experience with you, then we don't want to go. We want your presence to be with us, God. Verse 16, verse 15, Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you be with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth. See, some people kind of take God. I forgot my wallet, but that's usually a excuse when I go out with some of the guys. I forgot my wallet. Can you pay for me? But normally in your wallet, you have a picture or you got your ID. I mean, we carry God like we carry an ID in our wallet. Like when we need it, we'll pull it out and then we'll give it to him. Now, how many of you, I remember just vaguely, because my dad would sometimes, wear cologne and he would, it was high karate. It was I guess it was cheap or whatever. But some of you guys, you have your special kind of aroma or fragrance, and you cologne, you spray it on, you dab it. Some of you take a bath in it, but also with perfume. I mean, to be in the presence of God, I see it like when I exit out of the presence of God because I spent time with him, it's like he's still there. There's an aroma, there's a fragrance about me that when I go somewhere, I mean, I've heard reports, and I'm thinking, man, God, that'd be awesome. And I started thinking, that'd be great if it happened to me. But then I started to think about just me and not about God, and I was getting in the flesh. But I heard reports where, evangelists would go to certain countries, and they would walk into a store, and then the clerk that was in the store begins to weep bitterly. The guy didn't say anything to her, and she begins to weep bitterly because the aroma, the presence of God is with this guy, and he's going into this place, this country. He's going to evangelize and preach to thousands of people. Thousands get saved. The presence of God is with him. The problem is we got to stop carrying God like it's an ID in our wallet and begin to be in his presence, spend time in his presence so that wherever we go, it's the aroma of God. Kind of like what Brian was saying, because of the fact that people know him and know how he lives and knows his character, they'll be able to see God. He doesn't want people just to see Brian. He wants people to see God in him. And that's something that we should all as believers desire. God, I want to spend as much time as I can with you so that when I'm walking and I'm living my life, people will be able to know that you are here. You're moving. You're doing some great works and you're changing me. There are some people that I know, they would go to work. They'd come back. You know they went to work. Can I get an amen? All right, you know what I'm talking about. Okay? Isaiah is not taken from earth and traveled to heaven, but he sees that, and because of this communication, because of this precious time with the Father, he sees something. Moses, because of the precious time that he is with the Father, I want to continue to read in verse 17. "So the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. And he said, please show me your glory. And God said, I will make my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. So by seeing this, we know that Isaiah didn't physically see God, but in that time of prayer, that time of just intimacy with God, he, with his mind's eye, within in the spirit, he begins to see the holiness of God. And because of that, he says, oh, I'm so undone. Man, I'm not even worthy. You know, there are many times, and even today, I feel unworthy to be behind this pulpit. I do. I mean, that's the thought. But I know that God has given me this word that I can share not just to you, but for me as well, that we all could hear what God is saying. And Moses is speaking with God in his communication with God, his prayer time with God. And God reveals himself to those that seek him. He reveals his truth. He reveals his instruction. And he'll reveal the calling on your life if you spend time in his presence. God will never call you. He'll never give you a calling via fortune cookie, via horoscope, via late night commercial. You will. never through a fortune cookie, though. You know, in time of prayer with him is when you'll know the calling on your life. I mean, this is one of the things we are wanting to discover God's purpose for our lives. And it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen through a Friday night fish fry or a, you know, Boston butt fundraiser. It happens in, although those times are great moments, we're raising money and we're ministering and we're having fun and fellowshipping. But in those quiet moments with God is when he begins to give us that calling, a purpose. He begins to reveal some deep things of his word to us. And it's great time. So dependence, according to dictionary.com, I stated this before, dependence means the state of relying on or needing someone or something for aid, support, reliance, confidence, trust. I never want to depend on God just when I need him. Just when I need him, I want to pull that get out of jail free card. Just when I need him, I want to pull out that, oh, help me, God. I remember my kids, they would make us when they were young for a birthday, they would make us little coupons and you know, hey, I'll they never used the rub your feet one. They never gave me one of those. But, you know, I'll get you a cup of water or I'll get you something to eat or whatever. And so they give me those coupons and you know, sometimes I look back and I'm thinking, man, I never used any of them. Some people only call on God whenever you need something. We need to learn that we need to not call on God whenever we need something, but be and talk with God all throughout the day. Be with him and have that communication with him, not just when we need it, but at all times. I found a list of, and since we're talking about dependence, I found a list of battles and wars that the United States has been involved in since July 4th, 1775. And in the 19th century, we had the First Barbary War. We had the Tecumseh War, the War of 1812. That happened in 1812. The 20th century, we had the Vietnam War, occupation of Nicaragua. The Bluff War, I thought that was kind of funny. We won. We probably bluffed better than anybody else. It's a joke. And then the 21st century, of course, the war in Afghanistan. and the Iraqi War. And all through these wars, to win those wars, the American armed forces were dependent on certain weapons to defeat the enemy. Imagine trying to fight in the Iraqi War with muskets. And that's it. You see, back in the day, what was dependent at a certain time was the musket, whereas now, not just this machine gun, but the 50 caliber machine gun is what is dependent on against the enemy. At one time, they used firing cannons from sailboats. Now we're firing torpedoes from submarines. See, our country knows too well, because of all the wars we've been involved in, they know too well how to defend and what we must depend on. And that what was necessary, the tools or the weapons, to become victorious. Can I get slide one possible, Joe? Parents. Now, those of you that know, Shannon and I were parents to a 3-week-old baby. You know, parents, at one time you were dependent on cloth diapers. If the slide's up there. If not, you can remember. Cloth diapers for your newborns. Those of you remember putting the cloth diapers and pinning them to the line so they can dry out in the sun. Now, since the invention of diapers in 1950, diapers as we know them today, it's important for us as parents to find the diapers that we can truly depend on, no pun intended, to absorb and keep the baby dry. There was a time when we had faced some financial difficulty. I can't remember what baby it was, but we went and bought the really cheap kind of diapers. We found out the hard way, it's not worth it. It's not worth to get that. We went back to what we depended on before because it helped the baby stay dry. It helped our shirts or our pants to stay dry. And it was beneficial for us and beneficial for the baby as well. Today in our world, there is a dependence on clean energy. We've heard this all throughout the last couple of years. Solar power, wind power. And I'm not saying it's wrong. But there is a desire and a wanting for dependence on clean energy. Inventors and green thinkers are hoping that more people would choose to rely on that clean energy instead of what we depended on before or even today. And they say it's to benefit the world climate. Some of you might have smart meters. Anybody has smart meters on your house? Okay, a lot of people, you know, these have been installed on our homes. They say it's more efficient and it helps save money, while some people believe that that's false and it's more harmful than good. But yet the dependence is still there. Every home, we're depending on energy. We're depending on, you flick the light on and the light turns on. But what continues to remain the same for more than 2,000 years, and whether people don't like it, people aren't looking for it or not, the dependence that all mankind has is a dependence on God Almighty, on His Son, Jesus Christ, and on the Holy Spirit. You see, without that relationship with God, without realizing our great dependence on Him, we will not see God. We will not enter the kingdom of God. And so many people have this mentality or thought, well, I know about God. You can know about God. But if you don't know Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, you're not getting into heaven. Because Jesus' very own words are that if you don't come through Him, there's no other way. If you don't go to Him, there's no other way to get into the kingdom of God. Let's go to Matthew chapter 6, because what Jesus says is very important. And it relates to our daily dependence on God. Your dependence, daily dependence, is not on yourself. You might think you're all that. You might think, I know everything. It's not on you. It's on God. Matthew 16, verse 24, Jesus says to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. Not sure if you found it, but in verse 24, it says, let him deny himself. You have to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. This is something that we have to do daily. Verse 26, for what profit is it to a man that if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man will come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Or surely I say to you, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Deny yourself. That's you. Deny your way of living that you think is best. Deny the way of treating people that you think is best. Deny yourself and surrender. You know, when Jesus was carrying that cross, the carrying of that cross was so significant. And I know that Hollywood was trying to do its best job, but it didn't even come close to what it actually really meant. I mean, Hollywood did try to do a good job at making it look so dramatic with the special effects, but it meant so much more than what we saw on the big screen. He carried our sins, your sin. He carried that as he was walking to Calvary. There was no need for him to carry our sin. There was no need for him to carry your sin. You needed to carry that. You needed to carry that junk all the way up and be nailed and be crucified. You needed, but Jesus, but God and his great love and Jesus and his desire, compassion, that all of us would have opportunity to be reconciled to God. You see, that word reconcile, a lot of people don't understand what that means. But your sin kept you separated from God. You're over here. God's over here. Jesus coming to die on that cross allowed us to have the opportunity, if we are so looking for it, if we want it, the opportunity to be able to call God Father. To be able to call upon God at any time. To be able to spend time in the presence of God. Because understand this, your sin separates you from God. And you cannot have that intimate, quiet moment with God if you are in sin and expect him to speak to you, reveal things to you. Why? Because there's no reconciliation. You need Jesus. And Jesus is the one that came to reconcile us to the Father. So he carried our sin. And this is another thing. Jesus allowed the soldiers to nail him to the cross. He allowed them. He had every power to say, you ain't doing that. No, you ain't doing that. But he allowed them. Again, I've said this before, I'll say it again. Nobody killed Jesus. He gave his life up for you. He gave his life for you. And now we have the opportunity to walk up to our Father. To walk up to our papi and say, Father, forgive me. God, I want to spend time with you. God, help me to understand your word. God, I'm having difficulty. I'm having these thoughts. Or God, I'm talking a bunch of junk and I say things to people I don't really want to. God, Father, I really need your help. And in those intimate moments of communicating, talking, praying with God, we are changed. We can be changed in those moments. So he carried our sins. He carried our sorrows. And he nailed them to the cross. Galatians chapter 3 verse 10 says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of law to do them. Listen, there are people that are thinking they can live however they want to live and still think that they're going to get to heaven. Listen. You, if you're going to live by what you think you're going to live, you're not getting into heaven. The only way is through Jesus. And so Paul is saying here that there were people living by the law. If you're going to live by the law, then you need to live by all of it. And no one was able to. But that no one was justified by the law in the sight of God. In the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Verse 12, yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Verse 13, Christ has redeemed us. There, that word redeem, he reconciled us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written. Oh, we read that in Deuteronomy 21. No, we didn't read it. But in Deuteronomy 21, verses 22 and 23, it talks about, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Listen, are you taking salvation? Salvation is only found in Jesus. Are you taking that for granted? Are you taking it for granted? Meaning you gave your life to Jesus Christ back on maybe December 20th, 1985. But yet from 1985 to today, there is no evidence that you're still living in a joint relationship with Jesus Christ, walking and talking with the Father and living in him. There's no evidence of that. Are you taking salvation for granted? Here we read for ourselves that our sins, Jesus took and carried them to Calvary and he nailed them there. Jesus died for you and for me so that we can have those precious vital moments of prayer with a loving God who greatly desires to spend time in communicating with us. Without salvation in Jesus, we have no reconciliation because our sin separates us from him. Now, let me ask this question. Do you take prayer for granted? I kind of thought Brian was going to go into my message this morning in Sunday school. So if you missed it, sorry, but you missed it. But did you take prayer for granted? Have you taken prayer for granted? Come on. You know we have. You know we have. Your head should be like, yeah, I've taken prayer for granted. I've done that before. We've all done that. Because we found ourselves doing other things instead of spending time in prayer. Maybe it's the game or the Brickyard 400. We were talking about that this yesterday. Maybe there's a race today. Or maybe there was a race on a Saturday. Maybe you were watching a race on Saturday. Or maybe there was a boxing match. Or maybe there was a baseball game going on. And you knew you needed to pray, but you watched the game or the match or the race anyway. You've taken prayer for granted. Be honest. Be honest. Maybe it was the hobby or mowing the lawn or cleaning the house. Listen, waiting a little bit later is not going to ruin your day or the look of your home. It's not going to ruin any of that if you waited till later to do that just to spend time with the Lord. So again, have you taken prayer for granted? Those of you that are avid book readers, I mean, the book is an inanimate object. It's not going to grow legs and run away. You can read it later. Pick up his book instead. So many times we have taken prayer for granted that we chose to be distracted and have done other things instead of meeting with God and waiting on him. A lot of times we look at the watch. Oh yeah, I got to go do that. You really don't have to go do that other thing. Why? Because you're in the presence of God. You're praying. You're talking with God. That is more important. That should hold priority. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that all of us need to learn. So don't ever look up here and think that I got it all down packed. I don't. We all need to strive to seek the Father, to spend time with him, because our lives need to be dependent on him. Need to be dependent on him. And these are just a few things that came to my mind of how I and others might be doing other things instead of prayer, because prayer is more important. I'll close with Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 through 9. See, because prayer is telling us what we're to do and what happens. It says, be anxious for nothing, verse 6, Philippians 4, 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Notice, through Christ Jesus, not somebody else. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these. Listen, verse 8, that can happen. And if it's not happening, you need to spend a little bit more time in his presence and his word and prayer. Verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, this is Paul talking to the believers in Philippi, the things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in the word of God, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You see, the effects of prayer give us peace instead of worry. That's the first thing that the word, that verse 6 tells us, do not worry. I can go on to that old 80s song, but don't want to mess up your minds all day long, okay? But don't worry. And why? Because God doesn't want us to worry. He wants us to have his peace. He wants us to be directed and walking in his peace. The effects of prayer give us focus on God's desire instead of our flesh. You see, the times and the moments that we spend with God in prayer, what we think we need to do is thrown out the window. Now we are being revealed what God wants us to do through his word. Maybe the Holy Spirit will bring a scripture. Maybe the Holy Spirit will say, you need to stop it. You need to stop what you're doing, stop what you're thinking, stop what you're about to do, and just wait and listen. And God will tell you. The effects of prayer give us a heart after God and what God has a heart for instead of what the world has to offer. The more time you spend in prayer, and I challenge you, when you go pray, try not to have a time limit. Now, I know you get up in the morning, you're a little bit late, and you got 30 minutes, and you throw your clothes on or whatever, and you grab that toast and your coffee, and you're talking to God. Okay, that happens. Those are, some of you have those days, right? Okay, no, but I guess everybody's like Brian. You're always early, and you're always on time. But can I challenge you that when you pray, God, help me, because we need to ask God, we need to just be honest. Help me to care about sinners. Help me to care about the people that don't know you, Jesus. Listen, you're not going to, and it's a scripture verse. There's a verse in Proverbs that says about being soul winners. If you're a soul winner, you're wise. Why are you wise? Because that's what God wants, people to know Jesus. So we'll just put that in a short prayer and make sure that every time we talk with God, God, help me to be a soul winner. Help me to share Jesus with the lost. I mean, I'm going to heaven. Why do I want other people to go? Make that a prayer. But I challenge you with that. Paul says that these things which they learned and received and heard and saw in him, we should do also. And the God of peace will be with you. Why are you learning? What are you learning, receiving, hearing, and seeing from God's word? Are you applying that which you heard? Are you applying that which you are receiving? Are you going to apply what you're hearing right now? We all should. Because if you don't, you rip yourself off of the blessings and the things that God wants you to do. James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25. So often we think we know what to do, yet we are so wrong. Everyone say wrong. Now everyone say we are wrong. Make it personal. We are so wrong. Many times we think we know what to do, yet we are so wrong. If you haven't already noticed, God has been saying things to us these last few 3 weeks. These last 3 weeks, 3-4 months. Even if it doesn't make sense to you, really sometimes you may not fully understand. But if God is speaking to you, he wants you to listen. And he's been speaking to this church. And one of the main things is spending time with him. Being dependent on him for your strength, for instruction, for what you're supposed to do this week, for what you're supposed to do this month, or even today. Listen, you are responsible and God's going to hold you accountable if after these last 3 weeks of preaching and teaching about dependence and praying with God, that it's vital for your everyday life, that if you are not applying this to your life, something is wrong. Listen, don't take what I'm saying personal. It's spiritual. God is telling us, not me. God is telling all of us what we need to be dependent on and what we need to be doing. So what are you waiting for? Why would you choose to deceive yourself, to hear this, to receive all of this, and then not apply it? Let's apply it to our life. Bow your heads with me. Joe, if you can go ahead and play that video. You know, there's a loving God who loves us and has given us his son, that if we would accept his son as our personal savior, where Jesus is supreme authority of our life. He is our Lord. If we say, God, forgive me of my sin. I believe in my heart that Jesus died for me and he rose again, God. I believe that. And I ask for forgiveness, Lord, that you forgive me of my sins. And I confess Jesus to be my supreme authority, the ruler of my life. If you realize that you need to say that prayer because you have never said it, or it's been so long since you said it, I want to encourage you to say that prayer. I want to encourage you. Go ahead and play that song, Joe. I want to encourage you to come to the altar and just begin to talk with God. You don't need to talk with me. Just begin to talk with God, because it's a personal commitment that you're going to make, a personal prayer where you say, God, forgive me. Jesus, be my Lord and Savior. I believe that you, God, raise Jesus from the dead. Help me to live for you. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah.